Distractions in life can be devastating. A mother who's driving with her children can turn around, and I can remember as a kid, mother always trying to slap you from behind. I always get in trouble. But a sporadic moment can cause problems. A businessman driving to the airport, taking his eyes off the road, can veer and hit something. You know, even distractions through today, we're already thinking about a football game or what we're going to eat for lunch, or you're only going to get bits and pieces of my sermon today because our focus and our distraction can take us from what we're thinking of. And from 25 through 40 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I think that's what the Apostle Paul, his point is that he's trying to get across, is our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. We always need to keep our focus on the Lord. He starts in 1 Corinthians 7, 25. He says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful." Paul continues to address issues with the Corinthians. You know, and Paul here, we might think that Paul is speaking to those who are not married. But in 7 of verse 8 and 9, I think he already dealt with the unmarried. Yes, in the King James Version, they use the word virgins. If you go to some other ones, they use the word betrothed. And Richard almost took my whole lesson today in Sunday school. But to me, that word betrothed is a different version of it. You can look down to verse 27, and that's why it's so important to stay in context and what's happening in Scripture. So after he talks about virgins, in verse 27, he says, "Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife." If this is a Christian or a believer that has never been married before, why is he saying you're bound or you're loosed? You know, and to me, to solve that issue, the only people that are virgins you can look at are engaged people. And in the Scripture, they were betrothed. You look at Mary and Joseph, they actually had to go through a public divorce. And he said he'd do it privately because he thought she had cheated on him. But they were literally married a year before they got married. Yes, it's an engagement. Yes, it's a betrothal. And today we take engagement, we take all that lightly. But it was a very serious matter here in Scripture. If you wanted to look up that passage in Matthew 1:19 is where it brings it up, that they were betrothed and he was going to put her away privately or divorce her. He was going to leave her. So I think that's what we're talking about here when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's concerning a man and a woman that are betrothed. They were engaged, but they have never been together. They are legally bound to marriage, but they were not married yet. Like I said, in the English version, English Standard Version, it says now concerning the betrothed. They are legally bound to be married, but are not married yet. To no longer be betrothed would require a legal divorce. There's another thing that makes it interesting here. He says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. So to me, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And at this point, the Apostle Paul says, hey, you know, and we can discuss this maybe on a Wednesday night, but he says, this is my opinion. This is not from the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is my advice and this is my opinion. Because the Apostle Paul was sold out for the Lord. Everything he did, he sold out for the Lord. He says he's giving his own judgment. He even does it at the end of verse 40. He says, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. Again, it's not a commandment from the Lord. It's just his opinion and understanding of what Scripture teaches. He goes on in verse 26. He says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. The counsel Paul gives is due to the present distress, or some other versions say impending crisis. The Greek word can be understood as either present or at hand. It's impending. There is a crisis and distress that is just about to come upon. Because of his coming distress, Paul's directions must be understood in light of that circumstance. You know, before church start, Everett and I were talking. There is plenty of distress in the world. There's plenty of stress in the world. Each and every day we wake up, we feel like we're closer and closer to that return and that hope of Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe he's talking about, is the present distress of the world. So he continues on in verse 26 through 28, and he tells people to remain as you are. Verse 27, if you are bound unto a wife, seek not to be loosed. If art thou loose from a wife, seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So upon this impending crisis, or at hand crisis, the Apostle Paul tells everyone to remain as they are. If you are bound, if you are betrothed to be married, then do not seek to be free. If you are not betrothed for marriage, then do not become engaged to be married. But he also says in verse 28, it's not a sin either way. But he continues on in verse 28 through 35, and he says, he explains his reason behind it. And it goes back to that focus. It goes back to that devotion to the Lord. It goes back to, what are we really here for? So let's read 28 through 35. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. The reason why Paul is concerned about them getting married is about the coming crisis. He desires to spare them of worldly troubles. And this could be confusing for them to hear Paul say that marrying would cause worldly problems. So he continues on in verse 29. And he basically says here, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is the time is short. While we're on this world, you know, certain times things feel like they take forever. The older I get, everything goes faster and faster and faster. We're here for a very short time. The time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they do not. The time of distress is coming, and they need to be ready for whatever is about to come. To me, 29 through 31 talks about the world being upside down and changing and being in an upheaval. Everything's going to change. Your attention and focus will need to be placed completely on the Lord, because the present form of this world is passing away. Everything we see today is materialistic. But when we begin to look at things of eternity, things begin to change. There could be a serious persecution arise against Christians. Paul is preparing them to know that they are able to enjoy now is not going to be the case soon. They could lose it all. They could lose everything. And if you're not married and have kids and things like that, your focus can be on the Lord and what you worry about. The unmarried man or the unmarried woman has one thing to focus on, and that's pleasing the Lord. When it comes to marriage or being married, there are many things that can be distressed. There can be many things that could bring persecution and crisis. But if you're married and the world changes and all these things happen, we're concerned about our spouse. We're concerned about our family. We're concerned about that instead of what the Lord is asking us to do. You know, in a time of persecution, it is much more difficult when you have to be the welfare of someone that you love. I will do anything for my wife. I will protect her. I will take care of her. That is my role, and that's what God's given me to do. And I need to care for her. But the Apostle Paul is observing the truth here. The impending crisis would be much more difficult to endure physically and spiritually if one was married rather than being single. Paul's concern is stated in verse 35, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." He wants our focus. He wants our attention. He wants all the glory and honor to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just pointing out a fact. Again, he says there's nothing wrong with it. He says there's nothing. Again, the Apostle Paul was sold out for the Lord. He said, "I'm better off doing this on my own than having somebody drag him down with a coattail." If the Apostle Paul was married, do you think he would have went as far as he did? He was sold out. Paul was sold out for the Lord. His attention, his focus was on nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. I think many times in the world today, we use family as a trump card. I'll admit it, I even said it last night. So we had soccer all day, we had volleyball all day. I got home at 9 o'clock. And I said it out loud, told my wife, I said, "If I'm not the preacher, I wouldn't be at church tomorrow." But I used my family as a trump card. I need to be sold out for the Lord. I need to be sold out for what He has called me to do. We allow our family, and we are to be there for them. We are there to love them. We are there for, there's many verses that talk about the family and what Jesus Christ has called us to do for that family. But many times, family obligations will hold us back from certain things. Family obligations can hold us back from worship. Family obligations can hold us back from helping others. Family obligations can just stop us from anything, and we try to use it as a valid excuse. But I don't think the Lord wants that from us. The Apostle Paul is concerned that they will lose their undivided loyalty during the time of crisis and distress. If we are this way when it's good, how are we going to be when it gets bad? We're going to choose family over the Lord. We're going to choose our loved ones over what our focus needs to be on. The Lord Jesus Christ has called us to love Him beyond, above all else. Nothing can ever come before the Lord. Period. He goes on in verse 36 through 38. He says, "But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and has so decreed in his own heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Here the Apostle Paul offers a word of caution. While it would be better that if they choose not to get married at this time because of the upcoming crisis or whatever is going to happen, he does not want them to succumb to sexual immorality, which we've talked about throughout chapter 6 and chapter 7. Paul addressed that. Paul desires that they exercise self-control. But again, if they can't, then they can get married. He says it's not a sin if they do get married. It is certainly a sin if you're engaging in sexual relations before marriage. And so many today in the world say, I'm going to live with them to make sure it's a right fit for me. I'm going to live with them to see if I can get along with them. I'm going to live with them. It's wrong. Period. It's wrong. So many people try to justify such behavior. Well, we're engaged. Like Richard said in Sunday school this morning, when you were betrothed, you waited a year to get married. In the Word of God. It's an engagement. But you still do not. You're not together through that time. God commands sexual purity until the couple is officially married. The Apostle Paul continues on in verse 39 and 40. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. He continues on about marriage and the law of marriage. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. Marriage is for life. And so many people think we'll give it a go. We'll test it out. You know, it doesn't matter anymore. I don't know this, but I think the Christian divorce rate is higher than an unbeliever's divorce rate. Do not get divorced. When you get married, you are staying together for life. You are entering into a covenant, a marriage covenant. You are saying you will do for your spouse not what you will get out of the relationship. You are not committing as long as you get what you want. You know, I always heard, to me, everybody thinks marriage is or love is a feeling. And marriage is a feeling. I'm sorry, it's a commitment. Your feelings will go away. Your relationship can go away. There's so many things in a marriage that go away, but that it's a commitment. You are in a covenant to your spouse, to God, to stay until death. And it says here, death is the only thing that will sever the bond of marriage. It's to be permanent. It's to be the only thing that will end a marriage. He says it in Romans 7. You can read Romans 7. Romans 7, 2 and 3. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Again, we got to think of marriage as an eternity, marriage as a never-ending thing. He says, only in the Lord. If your spouse does pass away, you need to begin to look. It talks about being unequally yoked. It talks about not marrying an unbeliever. Whether you've never been married, whether you've been married, whether you're getting remarried, you need to find somebody that is in the Lord. Marry another Christian because of the impending crisis, because of what's to come, because of what the world is going to. But in verse 40, he says, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. She would be better off not marrying again because of the impending crisis. To me, whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you're looking at marriage, whether you're... this whole entire passage has to do with our focus and our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says none of it's wrong. It's not a sin until it begins to take us away from our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Through chapter 6 and chapter 7, there was many things that we went over. And just to try to summarize what God's marriage laws were. One, you can live a single life and be pleasing to the Lord. It does mean you will have to exercise self-control. Number two, sexual relations is a right and a blessing of marriage that is not to be withheld. Marriage is for life. A person is not to divorce your spouse. Divorce is a sin. Marriage is a covenant that is not to be broken. If you do divorce, you must remain unmarried or be reconciled to your former spouse. If you are married to an unbeliever, you are to remain in that marriage. If an unbeliever divorces a Christian for being a Christian, you must remain unmarried or be reconciled to that marriage. If your spouse dies, you have the right to remarry, but you are still required to follow all of God's marriage laws. Verse 35, it says, and this I speak for your own profit. To me, this entire portion from 25 to 40, this is for our benefit, this is for our profit, this is for our attention. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. The NIV says, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I just pray whatever situation we're in, each and every one of us here are in a different spot of our life. We all know the conviction. We all know the power of the Holy Spirit. We all know what you're calling from us. But I just pray that we can have that undivided attention to you, that we can focus solely on you, that whatever is going on in our life, that we come back to you, that we lay our burdens down at your feet, and we look up at you, and we focus and put our undivided attention upon you, and not let anything of this world distract us, whether it's family, whether it's loved ones, whether it's whatever it is. We just pray that it will not distract us from what you have done for us. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Stand together.